Wow, that guy means business.
Just an amazing player.
No, not him. The sports photographer behind him.
What?
He has a business bank account with QuickBooks Money where he earns 5% annual percentage yield. So he's scoring big on and off the field. You might even say he's the MVB.
MVB?
The most valuable business.
Making your money work harder. That's how you business differently. Intuit QuickBooks. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Hello, welcome back into the podcast that we like to call From the Podium, where you hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steven Serta. Chiefs return to the practice field on Thursday as they continue their preparation ahead of their travel to Arizona for Super Bowl 57. We heard from head coach Andy Reid, quarterback Patrick Mahomes, linebacker Nick Bolton, and defensive end Frank Clark. We'll go in that order, starting with Andy Reid, followed by Patrick Mahomes. After that, we'll take a quick timeout. When we get back, we'll wrap things up with Nick Bolton and Frank Clark. Here's Andy Reid.
We'll not practice today. He did a great job of playing in that game the other day. Very courageous effort, and my heart goes out to the kid because he busted his tail. He is hurting, though, today. Juju has some knee swelling. He won't practice. Legarius Sneed's in the concussion protocol. He won't practice. And then Kadarius Toney, he won't practice with the ankle sprain, but he's close and doing well. Actually did the walkthrough today. So, listen, we look forward to the challenge of playing the Eagles. Good football team, great football team. And, you know, they've got tremendous talent. They've got good coaching. And it's a good organization. So, and I guess you don't get to this point unless that's the case. So that's they really do a nice job. Anyways, with that, time's yours.
Coach, what are you thinking as far as Clyde Edwards-Helaire is concerned? That you brought up Jody, but how close is Edwards-Helaire?
Yeah, he'll practice, and we'll see where he's at. You know, we're just taking it day by day and see kind of how he's feeling, and not only during practice but also after practice. So he'll work today.
And you kind of –
Yeah, he actually did well. A little stiff right after the game, but he's doing well now.
So. Andy, what are your conversations been along with veterans, all the newer guys on the team, getting them ready for what you're going to experience next week with all the hoopla and more media attention than ever?
Sure. So we talked about that this morning and really Monday. So just giving them a heads up on kind of what to expect. And then we dug into the game plan from there. But until you get there, if you haven't been there, it's hard to explain, right? Yeah, I mean, you tell them, but they got to see it. But we're giving them a heads up on all that. So,
Coach, Nick Sirianni's in his second year. You guys saw them pretty early last season. How much have they developed since you all saw them up there last year?
Yeah, first of all, Nick's done a great job with that team, as has Howie Roseman in the general manager position. So, but they're way more familiar with the schemes. They've got a great defensive scheme. They've got a great offensive scheme, and the players they're more comfortable in with both sides of that. Yeah. Yeah, you had a feeling coming out of training camp. The guys seemed to get along. And as it went on, the season went on, you saw a growth, especially from the young kids, that back end, the secondary, Sky Moore, some of the young guys that were getting decent play time, you could really see the growth there. And it was hard from, I'm sure, a public standpoint to see, but we were seeing it from our side, just how they handled certain plays and leverages and so on. So, but I was impressed with that. And then the new guys that were veteran players that came on, They had to get used to a new system. So a couple of them have been in systems for quite a while, and so they had to get used to a new system, new way of practicing, new and all those things that go with that. So, but they tried it, and they weren't afraid to dive in and try it, and they, you know, it worked out for them, and they got better every week. Likewise, just more familiar with the schemes. Yeah, the oldest one is Carlos. I mean, you know, Carlos comes in, and he's very, very smart. He's been in the league a long time. And so he was kind of looking around, not sure what was going on, and as far as, like, what are these guys doing here? Way different than maybe what he did before. But he tried it. He bought in, and then, like I said, he's very smart, so he helped out George and the other guys, that the young guys, and yet fit in with Chris, which I knew he would because they work out together during the offseason, but fit in with the other guys. So.
I know you've, when we talk about protecting the quarterback, you know, you always talk about, I can do a better job, right? The play-calling part of it is certainly an equation, the offensive line, but how much is on the quarterback? You've got the two best sacking defenses out there. How much can the quarterback, or how much does the quarterback control, you know, whether or not he's going to get knocked out?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you hang on to the ball against the two fronts, you know, you're good chance you're going to get knocked down. However, both of them can move, which is a plus. So that kind of, I'm sure both guys will evaluate that and exactly where and how they can move. How much time they have to move, so it. But they have control of that, you know. And then, to a point. I mean, if the play's covered, to me that's, you missed on the call. If the whole play's covered and he has to move, run around, there's nobody open. That's different.
So. Coach, Juju specifically, I've just had a lot of important snaps for you this year. How optimistic are you?
Yeah, so I think he will be able to do that. He's in a good place. The main thing is that we let that calm down. And right now it's doing great. So very optimistic right now. But and his want to is all in there. So, but we'll just see where it goes.
Andy, over the years you've gone from being coach, general manager, and having a lot of personnel control and that, and I sense now that obviously it really is all in Brett's hands. How did you arrive at sort of that concept that I should let go of that, and how much has it just sort of liberated you to just coach?
Yeah, I mean, once I started doing that, you end up spending a lot of time doing that, and if you're going to do it right, and so it takes away from, you can't, it's hard to do both. And so I felt like I got into this because I wanted to coach. And on top of that, I've got guys around me that are really good. Brett Veach is really good. Doris was good. And so let those guys do their job, and then I'll focus in on the football part. Something I really wanted to get back to and enjoy. And enjoy, you know, I enjoy that part. So,
Coach, Sky Moore after the game said that there were times this season when he didn't want to be back there for the bus because he lost confidence. But then he said, if you guys had confidence in him, he should have confidence in himself. And now he feels like he's gained that. What does that say about him, that he went through that, got over it, and then he was in that spot and came through in such a big moment?
Yeah, that's you're going to – comfort's a crazy deal. So you're coming off a senior year, a college year, where you're the man. You're asked to do something different, and – all of a sudden, you're not the man, and it's tough. How do you handle that? And so I think that was an important lesson for him to fight through whatever anxieties he had at that time about being back there. And that will carry him. That's a foundation that will carry. He'll carry with him throughout his career, that I can, you know, if I battle and really focus and work through something, I can do it. And I think that's important for young guys. And like I said, I mean, you know, he did it, and he's more comfortable now receiving those.
Coach, to that point, you talk about having a lot of trust in your guys, even when they make mistakes throughout the season, specifically like Sky and Harrison. When you get to this point in the season, how important is that to have that trust and keep going back to those guys when you need them, you know, at the end of the season?
Yeah, well, they've got to feel that. I mean, the worst thing is when, okay, I had a hiccup over here, and, you know, nobody's hanging with you. You're kind of out on that island. And so I think it's important that you support them. And as long as they're willing to get better, support them. And that's, you know, that's what we did. It wasn't just me. I mean, it was other people too. So we saw the talent and they, you know, with two different situations. I mean, Sky being the rookie and Butt's been here a while. So it was just a matter of working through it.
All right, we're going to go right across the front row, start with Karen. We'll come right here and finish up.
Coach, next week, you know there's a lot of distractions. So how can you get any serious work in among all of the other obligations?
You can. Yeah, you can. Ted does a good job of kind of managing that. And then it's important that you we'll have an office. Each coach will have an office, so you can focus in on that. Players will have meeting rooms. You can focus. They can focus in when they're in there. So, yes, you can. But on the other hand, Karen, we want to get it done here, get the foundation of it put in here, and then when we're down there, we can – go back and review it. So that's what we're doing.
Dave. Andy, there's a lot of people that obviously are pointing out that you brought Jason in, but you brought in two other guys too. You've got two guys that you brought in to fill that gift for coming.
Yeah.
What do you remember from Brandon Fletcher? And obviously, they're still doing it at a real high level.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very proud of those guys. I mean, I know them personally, so I'm proud of them. They are tough guys, tough-minded. They're good leaders. They're fun to be around. And they're good football players. I think generally that, you know, now each one's an individual and has its own, each one has their own characteristics. But that, in general, I would tell you that about them. Great team guys. Yeah. And Reddick went to school, you know, my son and both my sons. So one was coaching, one was playing.
Coach, specific to McCole Hardman, how challenging was that for him, even with this extra time to be available for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, so I think it'll be tough for him. I mean, I doubt that he'll make the Super Bowl. But listen, he was not going to be denied the other day, and it's a tribute to the kid. He pushed himself like no other, and he's a tough nut now, man. He's all smiles with you, but he, when it comes down to playing, he is a tough, tough kid, you know.
Andy, you mentioned Nick Sirianni earlier. You know, he was here. Everybody's talking about you being in Philly, but he was here at one point. You've had discussions with him before you kind of arranged your coaching staff. What impressed you about him that maybe said, even though it didn't work out for him with opportunity,
yeah, I love his personality. He's a guy that you can talk to and communicates well. He's got a fire to him that you appreciate and the players appreciate. A personality, you know, is what I'm saying. A good personality that way. So, and he's smart. I had a chance to talk to him, and he's a smart kid. So. I think he's perfect for Philadelphia. That's a tough place. And he's a tough kid, and he relates well with the people there.
Sam, a couple things, Andy. We've got 2 weeks here instead of the normal one, but in order to install the game plan this week, did you still go through like the normal routine to come up with the game plan, or is it staying here overnight on Sunday night?
Now, yeah, so, yeah, we're doing the game plan now. So today would normally be Wednesday instead of this today for us is Wednesday, even though it's Thursday to everybody else. So but the one thing we gained as coaches is we gained an extra day to game plan. So and you just got to take your time and make sure you're nice and thorough. We didn't rush into it. And so that's the positive. And then tomorrow is Friday. It will be like a Thursday, and Saturday will be like a Friday. And then we hop on the plane and go. Yeah, so I think he's done a great job. He has had some huge catches for us at timely times of a game. I just big plays, and respect him for that. And great catches. These things weren't easy. I mean, he made some really nice grabs. So, and we're different than Green Bay. It's a different system than Green Bay. He's another one of those guys that's adapted and done it with a smile on his face. And so it's not something where you're pulling teeth with him. He's done a real nice job of accepting all the newness of the offense.
All right, thank you.
No, I don't think so. I just was generally sore, I think, from the game. And it was a physical game. I mean, my whole body was a little sore. So I don't think I had any step backwards or anything like that. I know, like, re-aggravation of the ankle, the little bit of pain I had playing with it. But other than that, I feel like I'm in a good spot.
Pat, on that last run of the game, that was one of your fastest runs, in your time in the league. What does that just say to how much passion and adrenaline is going through?
Yeah, I think it was a big moment, obviously, so you have some adrenaline pumping. And I had to get the first down, and I had a pretty fast dude chasing me. And I've always said I'm just faster than the guy chasing me, so that was probably the reason I ran that fast.
Patrick, obviously, there's a historical significance going into this game with you and Jalen Hurts. That this is occurring in Black History Month, how much more special does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, to be on the world stage and have two Black quarterbacks starting in the Super Bowl, I think it's special. And I've learned more and more about the history of the Black quarterbacks since I've been in this league. And the guys that came before me and Jalen set the stage for this. And now I'm just glad that we can kind of set the stage for guys that are kids that are coming up now. And so it'll be a great game against two great teams and against another great quarterback. So I'm excited to go out there and try to do what we can to win against a great team.
To follow up on what Herbie was saying, just you mentioned the future and all the players that have looked up to you, and I'm sure they also look up to Jalen too. What do you sense that the future going forward for Black quarterbacks because of this, the historic moment for you guys, and even for the youth that are looking up to you guys?
Yeah, I think you've seen over time, it's whenever a guy like Doug Williams or Michael Vick or Donovan McNabb go out and play great football, it gives other guys like me and Jalen chances to have this platform and have this spot on the an NFL team. And so if we can continue to show that we can consistently be great, I think it'll just continue to open doors for other kids growing up to follow their dreams and be a quarterback of an NFL team. And it's good that we have guys like Jalen on the other side because he's a great person and obviously a great quarterback.
Have you heard over the last couple of days, have you heard from Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray or any other Justin Fields, any of them, have they reached out to you?
I haven't heard from them this week, I talk to those guys every once in a while, and we have a lot of great quarterbacks in this league, and I'm glad that I'm a part of it. We'll continue to evolve the game and set the standard the right way. And it's happened before us, and we'll continue to go after us as well.
Patrick, you mentioned the Eagles last year. How has their defense changed since you saw them last year?
Yeah, I mean, they have a great defensive coordinator, first off. He does a lot of different things. Their scheme has evolved because of the players that he has. They have great all-pro pro bowlers at every single level. And so they continue to add talent, man. And they have a lot of great players, veteran players, and mixed with young players. And, I mean, they're one of the number – and I don't know if they're number one, but they're one of the top defenses in the league for a reason. And they get after the quarterback, so it'll be a great challenge for us to go out there and try to have some success. Yeah, I think it was just an in-game thing more than anything. It wasn't something I thought about in the off season, but I think when you've been in some big games now a couple years in a row, you've learned from your mistakes. And I felt like the year before, I let one mistake kind of compound into to two, three, or whatever it was, whereas this game, this last one, instead of worrying about, man, I made a huge mistake and we probably could have had a good chance of not putting the game away but giving ourselves a big lead, let's not magnify it. Let's just move on to the next play, continue what you were doing throughout the entire game. And we didn't necessarily have a ton of yards after that, but I didn't make another mistake. And then whenever the time came, I was able to make a play in order to get us in the field goal range.
Patrick, on the run, we were talking earlier at the end of the game, there's plenty of photos. I'm not saying you weren't, hit illegally. There's plenty of photos showing where you were. You were out of your head. But is there kind of an art form to maybe helping sell it? Was there a little that helps out, because you're moving like at a high rate of speed, that can be kind of dangerous. You throw yourself down like that.
Yeah, I think it was more the most pain I had was stopping. So once he pushed me, it would have been hard to put my foot in the ground and try to stop. So I rolled through it, and you get over there with the heaters and the benches and people. That's where a lot of times people get hurt, and I think that's the reason that there's a flag for getting pushed out of bounds like that late. And so once I got pushed, I just tried to roll and try to not hurt people and not hurt myself. And the flag was called. I mean, I was pretty far out of bounds. It was probably the furthest I've been out of bounds before I've been hit. So I rolled through it. The flag was thrown the right way, and it got us in the field goal range.
Patrick, you've mentioned on a couple of occasions that during the 19 season, it almost felt easy, like this is what happens all the time. 20 of you guys go back, wasn't the same thing as the COVID, and now you're going to explore the spectacle that is the Super Bowl. How much sweeter do you think it will be just knowing how hard it is to get there and how much more you think you would enjoy it?
Yeah, no, it'll be awesome, man. And you get there the first time, and you don't know what to expect, and you're kind of going through a whirlwind of media days, and you have practice, but it's not the normal schedule you usually have, and meetings and trying to find time to watch film and everything like that. Whereas now you have a plan. Chad was with me last time, so I have a plan with him already. We're going to be able to go out there and do what we usually do throughout a week with the added stuff that we have to do. And so it's nice to have that experience before. I can teach other guys and help them along as well, because even though it's the same team, we have a lot of new players. And so I'm excited to get these guys down there to get that experience. And at the end of the day, you want to win the game. So I just want to make sure those guys keep that in mind.
You mentioned teaching the young guys, but when you look back on 2019, what was that one thing that you wish you would have known that you were sharing with those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just trying to give them a blueprint of how the week goes. Obviously, you can see it on the schedule, but I want them to see it from a player's perspective of how much stuff you have to do outside of football and how you can still manage that and get your stuff done the right way. And so the Super Bowl week special, it's a special week, but it's not about being down there for the week of the Super Bowl. It's about winning the game, and I want guys to keep that at the front of mind. And so enjoy it. Enjoy the whole entire week, but make sure you're prepared to go out there and play your best football as well.
Questions?
Four more guys, we're going to start with that. Whatever.
Patrick, after playing with MBS for a full season now, what are the things you've learned about him as a player?
Yeah, he's extremely talented, man. He works extremely hard. He's extremely talented. Obviously, anytime you have a new guy, you have to get on that same page. I think y'all saw that throughout the season. But at the end of the day, what I saw was he was getting open, and I just had to make the throws. And so even in the game last game, I felt like there was throws I made that weren't necessarily the perfect passes, and he was able to make plays happen. And he does a good job of not only running his own routes, but when he was kind of that last guy out there, he was helping other guys get in the right position. And so that's a testament to him studying the game plan and knowing the entire concept of the game plan and not just his routes.
Nate, I remember Patrick. Other veteran guys that you can tell that had an impact on where he is
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he was extremely talented and had all the tools and wanted to work. And I think that was a big thing. And as he learned patience and able to hit the hole and still get those extra yards, but having patience, you saw the run game take off. And then protection-wise, he's gotten better and better and doesn't make the same mistake. And so it took all of us to help him. And obviously, I had some impact there, but I think Jerick McKinnon was probably the biggest impact for him. And he was willing to teach. And y'all see Jerick blocking and running routes and doing all that and running the football and how – much of the veteran presence he is, but he's basically like a coach too, because he can coach those young guys up and get them in the right position as well. And it takes great leaders like that in order to have a great team.
We'll ask to Blair and then Stephen. Go, Blair.
Patrick, it's also the first Super Bowl with two former Big 12 quarterbacks are facing off against each other. Forever, the Big 12 quarterbacks have scored in the NFL. So what is it about the style of the league in the last 10 years since you that allows this to
Yeah, first, I know the SEC is going to be mad because Alabama tries to claim Jalen as well. So they'll be a little angry about you calling him a Big 12 quarterback. But it's cool, man. I think you saw that three of the quarterbacks in the Final Four were Big 12 quarterbacks. And I think you just get past that stigma of your air raid quarterback. You don't know how to handle NFL offense. And to see that guys can come from anywhere, man. I think you see that in all of football's history is players can come from big colleges. They can come from small colleges. Whatever conference that is, and they can have success, is you just got to be willing to work and willing to learn. And that's something that I think you see between me and Jalen is you have guys that want to get better and want to do whatever they can to win football games.
Last two, Stephen and Dave.
With Brady retiring, a lot of people feel like the baton passes to you truly to be the face of the league and the best quarterback in the league. Is that any extra responsibility to you now that he's gone and you really are the guy that most people look at as the face of this league?
Yeah, I mean, it's not – I don't think any extra responsibility. I mean, I'm just trying to go out there and win football games and win championships, and this is the biggest game of them all. And so it's not about being the face of the league or anything like that. It's about being – the best teammate you could possibly be and doing whatever you can to win football games. And the other stuff kind of handles itself. And it's obviously a good part of it. If you're winning Super Bowls, usually you get a little bit more media and a few more commercials, I guess you would say. But at the end of the day, man, I just want to get in this building, be with my teammates and go out there and win football games. Yeah, I think it's just in Texas, it's been a program of building football players up for a long time. And they're still the great running backs. They're still the great receivers, the great tight ends, whatever you want to say. But I think you've seen with just the way we're taught at a young age and 7-on-7 and everything like that, the quarterbacks are starting to even become more and more of a thing. But we've had guys like Drew Brees and Nick Foles and Baker's in the league now, Jalen, me. I mean, there's been guys that have been in the league now, but to have this stage to show what Texas football is all about, I bragged all my PA guys because they claim that they have the best state in football because of the history. But I'm like, well, I'm talking about the present. I think Texas has it going right now.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I think we had the ability to go against that kind of offense a little bit at the beginning of the season in Arizona, kind of very similar in times of getting the ball on the perimeter. But again, you don't really see like a lot. They put a lot of pressure on our DNs, edge defenders, corners, tackling, with pool schemes. And so, again, give them a lot of credit, man. They find matchups, man. They exploit them. And they do a hell of a job of it. We just got to come in and play hard. Oh, yeah, man. Frank's able to move in and out, kind of confuse the O-line a lot on where he's going to line, where he's going to end up being. And so him using that is definitely going to help us out.
Based upon your study so far, just how good is Jalen of knowing when to go and when not to?
Yeah, man, I think he does a great job of trying to help extend plays. His eyes are downfield still, trying to throw the ball to his wideouts. They come back to the ball a lot to give him a chance on scrambles. And also just whenever he knows when to pull the ball, give the ball, and zone read football, and test the perimeter again, put a lot of pressure on the DNs and our perimeter guys to make tackles out in space.
What advice have some of the veterans given you about dealing with all the distractions in the days leading up to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, man, just kind of control what you can control, man, and put your best foot forward in football, and then let everything else on the outside handle itself. And I kind of feel like that's been important just for me and a lot of the other young guys we've got on our defense is just trying to knock out off-the-field stuff early and just worry about football from here on out.
Nick, you guys are in a unique position. I think you're the second team ever to start the season at the same place the Super Bowl will be played. And mm-hmm. you get there. Did you have a moment there? I know you had to focus on beating the Cardinals and getting mm-hmm. going and everything, but there a moment anybody talk about, hey, we're starting where we want to finish and everything that's gone on since?
Yeah, we kind of hit on it in training camp. We got a blessed with the opportunity to start and end in the same place. And it's about everything we do in between to get to there. And God willing, God helped us get there to that moment again. And we got another chance to go out there and compete. That's all we've been asking for. And I just got an opportunity to go out there and play in one of the greatest stages in sports. And so we're excited about it.
Did you have a moment at all in that Cincinnati game? Got out again by lead, and they came back and tied it up. Did you have a – is there anybody who had a here-we-go-again kind of pity party maybe in the middle of it?
No, it's football. Playoff football, man. It's emotional roller coasters up and down. You got two great teams, two great quarterbacks going back and forth, offenses that both score the football. And, that's just the name of the game in playoffs. It's going to be up and downs. You really have blowout games. And so we knew it was going to be a dogfight from the get-go, and we expected it.
Nick, you guys faced the Eagles last year early in your career. Mm-hmm. More comfortable and better are you equipped to handle what you're doing now than you were that first month of your career?
Yeah, I actually watched that game already, and the game's kind of moving kind of fast for me. So compared to where I was then to now, man, it's a lot different mentally-wise, and I'm just having an understanding of the scheme and what the offense is trying to do at this level. So I feel a lot better coming in this matchup.
Nick, what was it about Steve Spagnuolo's game plan that you felt made you guys either comfortable or confident?
Oh, man, I think we did a great job kind of mixing up disguises, kind of forcing them to hold the ball a little bit and give our D-line some time to get there. To start off kind of early and often, then we end up with 3 sacks in the first 2 possessions, kind of helped us kind of get negative plays and get them in second and longs and third and longs and kind of put the matchups in our favor. And then Chris, man, basically tackling the football. I was dominant up front from the get-go, and I didn't stop all game.
You were obviously a rookie last year. Mm-hmm. There's a reputation that Spagnuolo doesn't always – trust to play rookies, mm-hmm. but seeing how many rookies have played this year,
yeah.
In your perspective, given that you just went through it, of how Spags has sort of brought these young guys along?
Yeah, man, since training camp, Spags has done a great job of just developing, challenging our rookies to try to get them to this point. Those guys have come in and been like sponges. Since I got here, want to learn, asking questions, I want to get better, and I'm trying to help the team get better. I kind of just, because all of that was on the main stage last week. Brian Cook had a hell of a play. Then Jay Will got the interception. Trent almost had an interception. Jay Watt had an interception. Then offense, Pac is doing his thing as well. So a lot of different guys, a lot of rookies contributing, but it's expected. I watched those guys work since training camp and put their best foot forward, and it just happened to show up on this last Sunday.
Nick, Patrick's talked a lot about in his first year when he got in as a starter. He thought, boy, this is just easy. This is how it's going to be every year. Win the MVP, go to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You haven't quite had that kind of start, but it's still pretty impressive. AFC Championship game and now the Super Bowl. Anyone giving you any advice, maybe Patrick or anyone else? And are you taking some time to kind of soak it in and appreciate? You're getting to do some things that a lot of guys have whole careers and don't get to do.
Yeah, man, I think the best example is Carlos. I'm one of those guys who works real hard, man, won one playoff game in 13 years. So you just kind of see, like, the work and everything's not really given to you. Again, we feel like we've been spoiled since I've been here, AFC Championship game, Super Bowl. So just seeing that guy and seeing what he has to work to get here and seeing his story and learning from it, and make sure not take nothing for granted. And we just want to make sure to take advantage of every opportunity we have.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Just keep doing the same thing you've been doing. Stay focused on the task. Just keep doing, you know, what you've been doing. Don't change nothing. Don't, you know, switch up too much. Don't invite any more, you know, too many more people. I mean, I know it's a Super Bowl, but, you know, just try your best to keep everything the same. At least that's what I'm doing.
You know? Is that possible next week?
I think it is, you know. I think our coaches do a great job of trying to, you know, mimic the environments that we are in at home, you know, meaning Kansas City, to try to keep it all the same. With family especially, I think that's kind of on us usually. You know, that's usually the biggest distraction is families and, you know, people pulling you left and right for events and different things. So I think it's imperative that you just stay focused on the task at hand. It's just playing football, you know, still. You know, we still have a goal. You know, everybody else may not understand that, or, you know, they may be on party timing. But, you know, like the first Super Bowl, you know, what I experienced, you know, you got family going out, you got friends going out, you got teammates that's not required to be in the hotel going out. So, you know, it could, you know, have you thinking like, man, damn, I'm missing something. You're not missing nothing. You know, you enjoy way, way much more after the game, you know, when you win.
Frank, you guys played.
Just in generally speaking, what does Chris Jones do for the rest of the linemen as a whole?
Man, he does a, I feel like he just does a great job, you know, helping out, you know, making players understand the significance, you know, the game plan, especially when it's, you know, directed towards him. I feel like he opens up a lot of opportunities for a lot of those guys inside, especially when he's, you know, causing so much attention to come his way, you know, and things like that. You know, we speak on it and we harp on it a lot, you know, with the interior guys. You know, we're like, yo, Chris getting this, you know, this double team, or, if, you know, the, if we know the slide's coming this way, we know we got to take advantage of that, you know, and take advantage of a lot of things. So on that note, I'll be able to talk to you more about it after Super Bowl.
Made about the trash talk that the Bengals had, and a lot of people want to write the narrative that that's why you guys raised your game. And I know all of you, you had your comments, you got the last word in, you know, after the game. But as you look back on it, I mean, does that make you play better? Does that, did you rise to another level because somebody else talked you guys down?
I feel like, you know, to a certain extent, certain players did probably. If you know me, man, I kind of play the same type of way usually around this time. And it's like one of those things, like, you just got to know who you playing with. I mean, you got a team who's, you know, speaking on certain things, you know, and they speaking on running the AFC or different things like that to that extent. You know, it's just one of those classic examples of, you know, you talk the trash after the game. You know what I mean? That's kind of what we did. Kind of let them have it. You know, they deserved it, though. I mean, when you beat a team three times in a row, you know, you do it decisively. You know, you take the game away after we was up, you know, three scores in the, you know, first half, whatever you want to call it. You know, you have the right to say those different things. You have all it is, and it's a game at the end of the day. You know, you want to have fun with it. It's the season, you know, and you want to have fun with it. You know, it's slowly becoming one of our rivals in the season. You know, unfortunately, you know, that's not the team, you know, we're talking about no more. They got a whole nother year to wait. They got to watch us play some football now, man. So, you know, it's about the Chiefs and the Eagles right about now.
Frank, you missed the Eagles game last year. You were hurt that week. What do you remember about the study for that and maybe what you saw in that game and how much different they are now, because that was pretty early in the regime of the new coaching staff?
Yeah, it looks like Hurts. It looked like he's very, you know, he's way more comfortable in the offensive scheme now. I believe this is his third year in the scheme. 2-6 didn't play last time. I think they have 14 at running back. 2-6 didn't play at all. As we know, he's having a great season. I believe he's sitting at 11 touchdowns, like 1,276, 1,250-something rushing yards. At the end of the day, you know, when you putting those type of numbers, you know, offensively, their quarterback is, he's playing like a running back as well. So 13 touchdowns. At the end of the day, when you're putting up those like Lamar Jackson numbers in 2019, if you're not aware. When you're putting up those type of numbers offensively, you know, running the ball, rushing the ball, you know, it's going to open up a lot of other things. So in turn, you're starting to see the passing game open up for Jalen Hurts. You got a lot of screens and stuff with 88, the tight end, and number 6, Devontae Smith. You got it's opening up deep ball and shots to 11. It's doing a host of things. The offensive line is looking pretty strong as a unit. I feel like the tackles are playing some good football. Lane, he's playing some of the best football of his career. You know, veteran guy who's continuing to show what he can do. And like I said, man, this is Jalen Hurts' show at the end of the day. If you can, you know, stop what he's doing, you know, you can possibly slow them down. But he's been playing some great football.
What are some of the challenges specifically for your position going up against the read option and quarterback that runs the ball so effectively like Jalen Hurts?
Well, this is a college type of running scheme, you know, the type of offensive scheme. And I don't mean like, you know, the level that they're on. It's just the, you know, you start to see 2013 Ohio State Buckeyes, Jim Trestle, that type of offense, you know, where this type of scheme was getting introduced, you know, earlier on. I kind of was a part of that group, you know, where this was coming around. So I understand it fully. It's a lot of discipline type of things at the end. He's kind of coming out. Ken, if you remember back then, Jim Tressel, he used to actually always key to the ends. It was a defensive end. He keyed to defensive ends. Watched the defensive ends. They were disciplined. If they stayed on the line of scrimmage, read options, read zones, different things like that, just to slow them down, read zones with screen looks and stuff to see if they ran to the ball and things like that. So it was a scheme basically to slow down the defensive ends, to get them to play a disciplined style of game. And I feel like that's what we're going to get a lot of. We got a great offense, man. They're a very high power. They're a high scoring offense, second to us. But at the end of the day, when you're able to, do a lot of things that they're able to do, give a lot of mixed looks, it kind of makes it hard on the defensive line.
How do you feel like,
Frank, there was a moment that NFL Films caught between you and Andy after Sunday's game. You said that you told Andy that you loved him. I just wanted to follow up and ask, why do you love Andy?
I love him because of the man he is first, not the coach, the man he is. And I feel like if you know him from that standpoint, you'll be able to attest to what I'm saying. A lot of guys know him as a coach, and they only see the coach side of him. I've actually been fortunate enough to see the other side of him, where I've had a lot of conversations with him, from that standpoint, and just, helping me become a better father, helping me understand life a little bit more and some of my tougher situations that I have to endure over the last 2 years. And just sticking by me, understanding that, guys do have, some bad times. Guys do, F up sometimes, but, sometimes you got to have, those guys there. It's the guys there for those guys that mess up, are just important, for me. And for me, having Coach Reed there, was big, because my father, man, he passed a few years ago, what I'm saying? I lost my father in a house fire a few years ago. So, the father figures, are thereof have lacked at times, And having a guy like that, I spend a lot of time with Coach, We spend, 70% of our week we at the building. We ain't here from 8 in the morning to 6 at night sometimes, and campus even longer. So I spent a lot of time with Andy, and we've grown. We have a great relationship. So, the things we ever talk about on the record and things we talked about off the record have shaped our relationship and, brung us so close, man. Feel like I'm able to talk about anything. And just, winning that game, man, was, one of those things. We kind of pissed it off the second year together. We lost the, out in Tampa Bay last year. Bengals came in, got rid of us. And, just to be able to get back, my fourth year here is just dope. I don't know. The refs, their job is to call the game as fair as possible. I don't ever look past it as that. If it is something else going on, all the politics within, I don't look at that. It's the NFL, man. Hopefully they call the game the right way, to the best of their ability, and that's all I can look forward to, man.
Kirby, last one. Frank, this is sort of like a Michigan Wolverine type question. You appreciate the school, but Tom Brady is now retired, also another fellow Michigan Wolverine, and you've sacked him.
I wish him nothing but the best, but he, like he said before, he had his one, That's it.
Thanks, guys. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.